is Real News Radio, exposing government corruption, defending our Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is Real News Radio with your host, Farron.
We are back on the Real News Radio with Farron and Brian. We are joined today with Doyle Shamley. It's an honor to have you join us today on the Real News. How are you doing today, sir?
Real good. How about you?
Doing great. And as we remember the life and death of Bill Cooper to begin today, I just wanted to tell you I have always regarded Mr. Cooper as a great messenger of the truth. And to begin, I'd just like for you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and tell us what it was like working with Mr. Bill Cooper and what you've been doing since his death in 2001.
Well, again, my name is Doyle Shamley of Hour of the Time. That is really Bill's, I guess you would say, hallmark creation. He became famous with his book, Behold a Pale Horse, which is still, to this day, in the top 10 of what you call the underground book category. And that even is on the major places like Amazon. What it was a work of writing as Bill had worked throughout his career in the military, and then when he left the military after Vietnam, he was a highly decorated combat veteran, and he was in the intelligence arm of the Navy as well, Air Force first, then he joined the Navy. He saw and read several documents and went and did several briefings that showed him there was a large problem out there behind, coming from behind the scenes within our own country. So he wrote his book, Behold a Pale Horse, and started the show, and which our website and broadcast has been named after since 1993, Hour of the Time. Now, we began sharing, Bill and I, that is, began sharing research in the mid-90s, 95, 96, back and forth. I was involved in the same areas, just a generation behind him was it, as far as our ages. And what we would do is we both had a massive libraries, not had, we still have. Our libraries are some 15,000 volumes of research. And we would share research back and forth. I was still in the Army, and I was holding classes nightly in the barracks as a platoon sergeant on the New World Order, the Federal Reserve, et cetera, to the troops. Now, of course, that went over about like a lead balloon. And when Clinton got into office, there was a cleansing out in the military of any of us that were strongly pro-American at the time or veterans, slash very pro-American sovereignty in the Republic and Constitution through the cutbacks. They targeted the veterans intentionally in the cutbacks, which I was one also. They targeted any of us who spoke out. Michael New was not the first person to do what he did. He just was the one who became famous. There were thousands of us who did the same thing. And they began targeting us during the cutbacks. Well, at that time, I could see that even though I was being groomed for command sergeant major position and whatnot, that everything was going nowhere in that career. And like I used to joke about, the Army, I joined one Army and enlisted in another is what had happened. So I left, and being single and no dependents or anything at the time, and once you're a veteran, you can break contract as well as far as your enlistment term. So I just, after the final go-around, which was out in a live fire field exercise in Northern California, being surrounded, me and many of my best soldiers that I had with me as squad leaders, assistant platoon sergeants, fellow platoon sergeants, whatnot, we were literally surrounded all of a sudden by this whole group of field grade officers, which is major or above, and they started hassling us. We're going to court-martial you for sedition. It was bizarre. And they made stupid comments. It shows you the mentality in the upper commands. Like, well, we bet you guys all got rebel flags hanging in your garages. You know, just ignorant crap like that. So I notified my commander on a Saturday, turned in everything on Sunday, and moved in here by Wednesday with Bill. And the studios were out of the home. The home was hardly a home, except for your bedroom. It was more of a work center, the living room, everything, and a large office, very large offices added on to the home, and a studio, et cetera. And we broadcast out of there nightly. And then in 2001, well, it started in 98 when he had got an attempted service, mind you. Now, we were there having a barbecue, which was something we did quite commonly in the backyard, and we could look down the hill at the only road approaching, and it was FBI so-called special agent Steve Filler up coming up the hill. We had had run-ins with him already. He was on what is still nowadays around the militia task force, they call it, and we waved him, and he stopped down there, and we had to yell back and forth, and he said he just had an envelope to hand us. And we want to talk about things and blah, blah, blah. We ran him off the property. And the next day, the U.S. Federal Marshal showed up. They realized, because one of our specialties, besides the mystery school's doctrines, is federal jurisdiction or lack thereof. We notified them they had no jurisdiction on the property. They even admitted it and stepped back out clear past the center line of the public road. So all you people who think that stuff is untrue, it does work. And we were actually never served. But they had these trumped up, the typical IRS tax evasion charges. And that went on and on. Bill had to basically isolate himself completely. I lived there with him, et cetera. The last maybe 9 months of his life, I moved just below and down the ways. We could see each other from our yards, and still did the programming and the mail, groceries, meals, everything with them. I just slept in my own house was the only difference. And on November 6th, he was essentially assassinated. It was a completely set up ordeal, and the tactical team, when they called the local police, after Bill was dead, mind you, at push of 1 in the morning of November 6th, and woke up the police chief, and he then called his only lieutenant and sergeant. It's a small town. And they went up there for the briefing. They were told point blank. They had planned that no matter what occurred, Bill was not going to be allowed back in his house alive, because they did not want a Waco or Ruby Ridge standoff with the news.
And Mr. Cooper had alluded to the fact that he thought this type of scenario very well may play out. We've got about 3 minutes before we go to break, Mr. Shamley. On June 28, 2001, Mr. Cooper had reported to the world that there would be a false flag event and Osama bin Laden would be blamed. Do you think this played a heavy part in the assassination of Mr. Bill Cooper by his local sheriff's department?
I would have to say so, because the thing about this, Aaron, is that, granted, you didn't know me at the time, obviously, but there's several people out there that did, that claimed to go get this report and that report, some so-called talk show host, et cetera. And that's an absolute lie that spread rumors about what occurred with Bill on that day, because when I went and did the FOIAs and the public records request and did get every single report, starting that day, filled out all the paperwork on the 6th, and they started coming in, I get to see the list of who all's requested it. That's the law. And all these big talkers out there had never even read the stuff and spread rumors. On page 3 of the Department of Public Safety's state final report, page 3, the original attack was planned for September 11th.
Wow,
on bail.
That's
so you tell me.
Well, I've looked into it for myself, and I firmly believe that this was an assassination on Bill Cooper because he was bringing to light the truth, and people don't want to hear the truth. And I've listened to the audio version of Behold a Pale Horse, and I've got the book now, and the Mystery Babylon series that he done should be required reading for anyone that deems themselves or are listening to. I've got the audio version of anyone that thinks they are a patriot. Mr. Shamley, we're going to break. Stay with me. We will be back in 3 minutes on The Real News here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We are back on The Real News. We are joined with Doyle Shamley, host of Hour of the Time. The website's hourofthetime.com. Worked extensively with the late Bill Cooper, researcher, author, radio show host, a messenger of the truth, and it's an honor to have you with us. We're going to continue here in a moment with the bizarre incidents of his death, but I have always wondered, Mr. Shamley, what was at the core of the dispute between Alex Jones and Bill Cooper? And you are probably one of the few in the world that could shed some light on this situation. So I wanted to ask you, what was Bill Cooper and your opinion of Alex Jones and why?
Well, really, the dispute between Bill and Alex started because of Alex's how do I put this nicely? I guess showmanship on the air, the exaggeration of rumors, emails that come through and portraying them as facts. When you have a broadcasting job, you can't very well make fun of the corporate media and then turn around and pull their same antics when you're on the air. You can't. You have a moral responsibility, along with ethical and business, to relay the news if you're really out there trying to help and save the country in a truthful manner. Not work up false flag operations like Y2K and to sell overpriced goods to people, or so your advertisers can sell overpriced goods to people. You're there to help them and teach them and let them hear the truth that the regular government-owned media is not portraying. That was the core of their dispute. And Bill did a series called Alex Jones 1, 2, and 3, and then he did a broadcast called Alex Jones Liar. Then Alex constantly nitpicked back as well. And, in fact, Alex said how he had to run Bill off the air because he had Bill on an interview, and Bill was so profane and all this that he had to get rid of him. Yet that's not the case when you listen to the interview. So it was an odd battle. It was really someone out there, Bill, who had been around for a long time, researched, knew the facts, exposed the facts as they were, taking on someone who liked to glamorize every quick rumor that came through the so-called Patriot channels. And I have been involved in this since the 80s, Farron, myself, early 80s. And the Patriot now, most of them should spell their Patriot with P-A-Y, okay, nowadays. And that's how the dispute started. Someone wanting to make a name for themselves and get big and boast and yell and blah, blah, blah on the air. And someone who wanted to stick to the hard line, we need to expose the truth through research. Well, and I would suggest to anybody that wants to hear those very broadcasts are on our MP3 page. Just go to hourofthetime.com and go to the hot shop and listen to it right from the proverbial horse's mouth. Because I'm really not into the whole thing, Farron, where people are constantly, I'll get, no exaggeration, dozens and dozens of emails and letters and phone calls daily. Well, what would Bill think about this guy that just showed up? And blah, you know, that's not a healthy thing to get into. I'm not Diane Warwick. I don't talk to the dead or own Psychic Friends Network or anything. I knew the man intimately as far as a friend and a co-researcher and lived with him. But I'm not here to second-guess what he said. And he said what he said on the broadcast and stood by it. And people need to go to the source, just like we always have stressed with Bill and to this day on Hour of the Time. Go to the source material. Do your research. It's that simple.
Yeah, I've looked at that information, and I found it very interesting, given the fact of how big some other broadcasters are at this time and point right now. But I wanted to go back a little bit into the death of Mr. Bill Cooper. We know he was shot 5 times at his front door, and if you could maybe tell our listeners a little bit of what took place that evening by the Apache County Sheriff's Department, how they had posed as teenagers and had attempted to lure him out, because this kind of information people need to be aware of, that we had a gentleman here in America telling the truth, and then this kind of fate was dealt to him by our government.
Yes, and Farron, you get the benefit or whatever of this is the last time I'm going to tell this story because I'm sick of reliving it. And
I don't blame you for that.
So
I don't blame you for that.
You get to boast that, I guess. I made that decision contemplating the interview this morning with you. Not that whether I was going to be on or not, but just thinking about it. What occurred was after the September 11th did not work out logistically and intelligence-wise for them. See, we went on the air live and nonstop for 10 hours straight when 9/11 happened. And all of that live coverage, which is critical listening, ladies and gentlemen, because things that we had multiple satellite links into the studio, et cetera, that day of 9/11, that very morning, we always had it. There are tons of live audio feeds that we cut in and cut back to and do commentary on, have live people on the ground reporting to us that are not talked about nowadays. Well, see, because we were in and out and had researchers run in and out and we were on the air live, their 9/11 ambush was stopped because we were live on the air. It wouldn't have gone down very well. So they had to trap them. And what they did was on the evening there, the November 5th and 6th. Now, remember, it happened like right shy of midnight. So a lot of dates have been blurred by so-called reporters out there. And we are the only source for the real facts, the only people with all the reports. And we've always told the story, so thank you, Farron, for letting us do that again. Like Tex Mars told blatant lies in his codec book about what occurred to Bill. Bill did not get shot running a stoplight in town. What happened was we had had lunch together, and I had actually just went down to get new tires for his car and pay for them and have them mounted. Went and got groceries, and we did orders and lined out the broadcast. It was to be Quaviet, which it was. And I went back to a side job I had and then was going to come back up the next day, pretty much the normal routine. At approximately 5:30 to 6 o'clock p.m., the tactical team got together at a little reconnoiter point by the rodeo grounds, which is where they have a building. And they had it. They just decided that, oh, we got an opportune time. We're going to do it today. They had already planned this out. When they came and put me under arrest that morning, the next morning, and took me to the so-called command center with helicopters, federal agents all over, I saw with my own eyes the thermal imaging photographs, the satellite photographs, the FLIR photographs. They had used the UPS, which this is a national program, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, announced openly by Department of Homeland Security a long time ago, that UPS drivers are used frequently as spies for the government. The UPS driver who had been coming around a lot for deliveries would ask things like, oh, can I use your bathroom or get a drink of water, and get sketches of the house.
Mr. Shamley, hold that thought one second. I hate it. We're coming up on a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Thank you so much, sir. Back on the Real News Radio with Farron and Brian. Again, we are joined with Doyle Shamley, Hour of the Time. His website's thehourofthetime.com. And Mr. Shamley, sorry about that break interrupting you. You were at the point where you were talking about UPS drivers, so I'll just let you continue from where you were at, sir.
Sure. And what had promulgated this whole so-called investigation, Farron, was a local doctor, Dr. Scott Hamlin, who's a lying piece of crap, always has been. He and his family supposedly went up there for a ice cream treat and park and watch the sunset several months earlier. On private property, of course, they were parked. But Bill ran them off from the house and the property up there. Now, they claim that Bill followed them to their house and he shoved it, and this little wormy lying doctor shoved his finger and pushed Bill back in the driveway, which would have never happened. Bill would have stomped on him had he pushed him. And that Bill had a gun and all this stuff, right? And the wife and children ran in the house for fear of their lives, but because he parked right in their driveway, they had a full description of the gun and the vehicle and the license plate. Well, he goes down and files a local police report. And the investigators and the police force here in Eager and the chief, Scott Garms, couldn't find any evidence. They ran the plate that they just got to look point blank from the front window to the bumper. They claimed they had all the perfect view. It was not his plate. They gave the wrong description of his truck. He only owned one truck. He only drove one truck. It's the only thing he did drive. The car, the new tires I mentioned earlier that occurred that day, running in and out, the preface, you know, that it was just a normal day to start with, was a car he was getting up and running. So that was so much baloney, and they knew Bill and how Bill was. They really didn't buy that the little doctor pushed him around and did all this either, and that there wasn't just a right-out fist fight and you're done type thing in the driveway. So it was dropped. Well, this little worm, he was upset. He didn't get his way. He thinks he's special because of the family he happens to belong to, and he ran and took it to the county and state because the city wouldn't do anything. So they proceeded to do an investigation, hence all the intelligence gathering and blah, 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 you know, the photos and scans I told you about, the satellite images, using the UPS as spies. His name was Norm, by the way, the driver. May he rot in hell. And several other people around Bill, we found out. Now, there was another gentleman, Glenn, who we call Glenn Judas Jacobs, had come around forever, hung out and leave. He just lived over the off the hill from Bill. He went down and filed a report that me and Bill had killed Annie, Pooh, and Allison, the family, and buried them under the house. We had the place landmined and booby-trapped, and we had AK-47s by the front door. See, the typical BS reports that time and time again are proven to be lies. You see the trend going here, the AK-47s, blah, blah, blah. So all the gears and paperwork looks good to justify what they're going to do, they think. So that night, they get in there, and they have that emergency quick tactical team meeting, say we're going to do it tonight, the 5th, 6th, you know, like I say, because it was so late. people get that little time difference confused. They decided to use a plain marked Chevy pickup. The tactical teams did, like anybody might drive around this. We're in the mountain country, 7,500 feet in the forest, elk, all that. Everybody owns a truck. Drove up and down to the end of the cul-de-sac from Bill, a dirt cul-de-sac. He lived on top of a hill. He was the only home on there. And they had, in fact, two people in the cab, one laying in the floorboards. It's all in the reports. And then in the back of the truck, they had more agents laying underneath the tarp. So what they did was went down there and acted maybe like rowdy teenagers, drinking and playing stereos and whatnot. Something, you know, high school children do. And Bill drove down there to run them off. While he drove down there, then agents on foot ran up, were coming up the hill from the opposite end to surround them around the house. At that time, which is really ironic, is they, even in their briefing to the chief, the lieutenant, and the sergeant locally here at about 1 in the morning when they finally told them that they had a dead resident, and that they had done an operation in their town without notifying them ahead of time, said that Bill even told them, I'm going to go call the police. You're trespassing. So even though they're law enforcement, even though the person says he's going to go call the police and involve the law, he's still treated like a criminal or a terrorist and ambushed. So he turns the truck around to head back to the home to make that phone call to involve the law. See how bizarre this is? And that's when a guy came out of the bushes and jumped on Bill's running board and tried to reach in. You know how they try to throw your shifter into park? And Bill knocked him off just with his arm, didn't run over him or nothing. Pulled up kind of on a berm trying to get back to his home, ripped out the whole exhaust system from underneath the Chevy stepside. He drove. Got in front of the house, got out. There's people swarming him from every direction, armed. Nobody said they're sheriffs or a tactical team or that they represent the law. And the shooting started. Now, Bill was running for the front door to get in. He had already indicated he was involving the law, so what kind of criminal is he? These people need to think about this.
Exactly.
The shooting began. Now, they claim he swung his right hand back and shot over his shoulder. I had to survey everything, his dead body, the puddles of blood, where people were laying. Officer Marinas was laying in forward and at an angle to him, and Bill supposedly shot him. Now, he didn't die or nothing, but the reason that doesn't jive is because we have a bullet hole through the car that was parked there. And the angle doesn't match him pointing over behind him while he's running, randomly shooting. We're talking about a 60-degree difference, so I guess he had one of those magic bullets. And but who Marinas did line up with was Deputy Goldsmith. Now, Deputy Goldsmith is who shot Bill multiple times. Those two were in exact line. Bill, we had an official forensics specialist on the air, live, unrehearsed, so nothing would be pre-done, analyzed the autopsy reports, which we got from the Tucson lab of Arizona that did the autopsy. Whenever there's a shooting like this, there's always an autopsy automatically done. They indicated there was gross amounts of stippling. Now, stippling only occurs when you fire a gun 6 inches or less distance because it's the unused powder that's still burning that comes out of the end of the barrel behind the projectile and hits the skin and leaves little burn marks. He had those marks on his temple and artery areas by his shoulders and head after he had sustained wounds that would have made him completely inoperable. He could not have fought back. He would have basically been laying there gurgling in blood at the most. And someone walked up that close a range and shot him more times. So close that it left burn marks. Stippling, it's called. The forensics expert also indicated that based on the angles and the order of fire and the wounds, because, you know, every wound can be sequenced, even in a dead body, due to the damage and the age of the blood and the tissue and the trauma. You can even get an order that the rounds hit the body. There were shots from above, which indicate someone was even up on his front porch shooting downward at him, because the angle would have been impossible to acquire. That occurred less than, 8 feet from the front door. In fact, the little teeny bit of concrete walking up the stoop was right next to his head. That's how close he was, where he laid, and all the blood was and whatnot. They finally, after all this is done, and let me tell you again how pre-planned it was. They had, in advance, already notified the local ambulance service not to run sirens or lights through town if they got a call that evening, because they didn't want to disrupt the community.
Wow.
Okay.
Unreal,
so,
Mr. Shamley. Just...
all this occurred. Now, Bill made the indication, I'm going to involve the law. He was following, don't you think, law-abiding citizen protocol? If you
just
don't know somebody and there's some pickup full of rowdy people...
Yes, sir. Hang on for me, Mr. Shamley. We're going to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and we're going to have about five more minutes with you. And I certainly do appreciate you telling this story to our listeners. I know that it's not easy for you, and I thank you so much. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Doyle Shamley here on The Real News. Back on The Real News, Farron and Brian, Liberty News Radio Network. We are joined with Doyle Shamley, hourofthetime.com. And we've got just a few minutes left, Mr. Shamley. And for one, I want to thank you for going through that with us. I hated to ask you that question, but we've got so many listeners that were unaware of the life and the death of Mr. Cooper. So if there's anything else you want to add to his death, feel free. And before we go, I wanted to ask you, what was your opinion as people waking up by the masses, and just your advice for the people out here listening? What do we need to do to make some real changes for the better for our country before it's too late, sir?
Well, certainly. Thank you, Farron. First off, you know, there's some thanks due to many people around me. We've had the intelligence service and whatnot for years. But there's a ton of people, Farron. Everybody always thinks Doyle, Doyle, Doyle. Well, I don't do websites and all that all by myself. There's an immense amount of people that help with the hourofthetime.com, all our broadcasting, which is on 24 hours a day streaming, replays of different shows, request shows that I've done, special series, research articles. Rob and Canada, the co-host and webmaster. And all your Jerry's and Tom's and Paul and Ann's and Scott's and Adam's out there, the huge thanks to all them, Herbal Eve, et cetera, and all the people that help keep this operation going, because we're a listener-supported operation. We refuse to take advertising. We're not going to be at the beck and the call of some advertiser for money to fund this. Never have been. Now, I do not think there is a mass awakening, Farron, and I know that goes contrary to popular belief, but let me tell you something. Having been involved in the Patriot movement, if you will, or the Freedom movement since the 80s, there has been a lot of changes, and a lot of it for the worse. The Internet has not necessarily helped the spread of information. It's helped a lot in the spread of disinformation and rumors and lies and false flag operations, the fifth column element. Has taken huge advantage of it, and sheeple are so damn ignorant that they take every email they get of a UN camp around the corner, and they just forward it on to hundreds of people, or black helicopters everywhere, guillotines on train cars everywhere, and just run with it without ever doing any research. And they've actually hurt the credibility of the Americanism movement to a great extent. I also find that Yes, we are getting a lot more younger people involved than in the older days, but a lot of them expect that freebie handout. They've got that sense of entitlement because of the public fool system, and everything should be a free download, never mind that you spent 25 years researching and producing a book and video. They should be allowed to pirate it, and you should not be able to pay back even your basic production cost. So it's socialism at work. Now, what can we do? Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Get your research in hand. Listen to proper broadcasters. Don't believe anything they say. Don't believe what I say. Go verify it. Me and Bill have preached that since day one. Go verify everything. You need to be ready because there are some bad times coming, Farron. People need to have seed, solar, ammo, medical skills. That's why we hold our annual HOT conferences. Details of that are on our website. Now, we're booked full. We were booked full months ago for our September conference. But if there's a large enough group of interest, we will do on-site week-long conferences in your neck of the woods, for instance, right in your backyard, per se.
We'd love to. We'd love to have that, Mr. Shanley.
We teach the skills that people need to know. This year's emphasis is urban training, and that's all I'll go into on the air. Everything else is on the website. It's your show. I don't want to take away from you, Farron.
Oh, you're fine. We are honored to have you with us. And something that you said that I believe 100%. We hear other radio talk show hosts saying, oh, there's a mass awakening, mass awakening. Me and Brian sit here and we say, well, you know what? We don't know what's happening in California or Oklahoma or Texas or anywhere else. But here in Statesville, North Carolina, there is not a mass awakening. I can testify to that. And I believe what you're saying 100%. And I really, while I've got you on the air, I would like to thank you for the work you've done your whole life and the work you're doing for the truth, because the truth can't be steered. It's a vehicle that takes us wherever it goes, and that's what we're trying to do here on The Real News. We don't have the background, haven't been doing it as long as you, but we're trying to do legitimate research and report the truth. So with that said, we've got just a couple minutes left. I'd like to give you the last word. And again, I would like to thank you, and I'd like to have you back on from time to time to just update what y'all are doing there on the Hour of the Time broadcast.
Well, thank you again, Farron. I've been a guest on a lot of broadcasts, let me tell you, and done a lot of hosting myself on our radio network, and you've been an excellent host. Thank you. I get hosts that I just pull my hair out through the whole interview, and this has been a nice, enjoyable interview. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to look for the truth. And like he says, the vehicle that takes you where it's going to go. On an interview, the last one, by the way, that very question was asked to me about the mass awakening maybe a month and a half, 2 months back. And that was the last time I was ever asked back on. They couldn't handle the truth. They wanted this picture, rosy picture, that they were out there waking everybody up and educating everybody, and all they did was mumble and gripe and complain. You know what? I'm sick of hearing it. I don't want to hear anymore that I don't have money to buy seeds. I don't have money to do this. I don't have time to do that. That's all bullshit. I do it. Bill did it. Hundreds of us around us do it at the Hour of the Time. Farron's doing it. Quit making excuses. Look yourself in the mirror. Accept the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that you were a sheep most of your life, but it's time to wake up and correct that. Change yourself.
Now, well, thank you so much. Again, thank you so much for joining us again, Mr. Sham. We'd like to have you back on from time to time. We've got a couple things we've got to do. We've got about 4 minutes left. So, again, I want to thank you for joining us on The Real News today.
Sure. Thank you, Farron.
You have a good day, sir.
You too.
Okay, next week on The Real News, we have Bob Chapman, International Forecaster. I believe the website, Brian, is
theinternationalforecaster.com. Yes, The International Forecaster.
We are going to be going to Washington, D.C. this weekend, hopefully getting some interviews with Virginia Fox. We've tried to line up some other events, not certain if they will come through, but hopefully next week we will have some more information to report. And any news you'd like to cover, Brian? We've got just a few minutes left before we go off the air. Go ahead.
In 1933, the American press was proud that Hitler adopted its propaganda methods. Nothing has changed. This is from Washington's blog. In 1933, the American advertising industry proudly and publicly boasted that Hitler was copying their American propaganda techniques. After Hitler and Goebbels gave a bad name to propaganda, Freud's nephew, psychologist Edward L. Bernays, simply rebranded propaganda as public relations and professional journalism. Edward L. Bernays, the so-called father of public relations, wrote about the invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. He was referring to journalism, the media. That was almost 80 years ago, not long after corporate journalism was invented. It's a history few journalists even talk about or know about, which began with the arrival of corporate advertising. And later down the article here, he states, in 1983, the principal global media was owned by 50 corporations. In 2002, it had fallen to 9. And today, it's probably about 5. Rupert Murdoch has predicted that soon there will only be 3 global media giants. And
yeah, we have reported, some time back how few it had failed to, and I believe it was 5. All of your corporate-owned media, 5 corporations, MSNBC, that's Microsoft NBC, General Electric owns a lot of it, Disney owns a lot of it. That's why when you turn the stations, you get the same news from each one. While we've got a couple minutes left, we're going to be putting together a series, Is Our Constitution in Suspension? It's probably going to be around the 1st of September before we get into this. We've lined up some guests. I know everyone's going, what are you talking about, Constitution suspension? There's a lot of evidence out there that I think will shock everyone. We've got some audio tapes of some senators admitting to this. A lot of evidence is going to be coming out. I think everyone will find this interesting. We're going to do 1 hour of the 2 hours each week on this for however long it takes. Then we're going to try to consolidate the interviews down to a DVD that we can give away. So, I urge everyone that's interested in this to look into the War Powers Act, March 9th, 1933, and some of the legislation that was passed by FDR.
It explains a lot of things. I always urge everyone, you know, to take all the dots and connect them however, you know, whatever works. And this explains a lot of the dots.
Yeah, this is totally unreported, and it is a series of miracles that we will explain how this information came to us through some gentlemen right here in Iredell County, Catawba County, and we're going to be passing out that information. I think everyone will find this very interesting, hopefully, and we will have more on that each week. And next week, we will report what transpired while the Real News crew was in Washington, D.C. Until next week, this is Farron, Brian, Ty, and Jim, and the Real News crew saying, God help us all.